Hey, what's up, everyone? It's Sunday, and guess what? We have Edgar here.
What's up?
All right, so first things first, NBA Finals. You know what? I said I didn't think the Raptors were going to be able to do it and Kawhi was going to be able to do it, and I was totally wrong, and I'm happy to be wrong. I'm fine with that. Kawhi is a man, and he did big ball man stuff with big balls, okay? So I'm so happy. This is great. Hopefully they don't blow this 3-1 lead like the Warriors did against LeBron in 2016, hopefully, or 17, or whatever it was. Fuck that. But Edgar's here to talk about the fight last night, the MMA fight. Man on man, anal.
Wait, I just have a question about your basketball fucking stats. Okay, so do you actually watch the basketball games, or do you just report on them after they're done?
No, I watch the basketball games. So I watch them at home, and like Friday night I was watching it at home, and then we went out to BJ or Chili's for dinner, which was great because they have the games going on.
Right.
So I watched the rest of it there. It was awesome.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, sounds like fun. So, okay, dude, UFC 238, fucking awesome card. So Henry Cejudo's the man. He's the fucking, I think he called himself the tri-champ now because he's holding two belts in two different weight classes. And then he's also an Olympic gold medalist in wrestling.
Oh, damn, that's cool.
In wrestling. So anyway, he beat, what's his name? Marlon Moraes, kicked his ass. It was a really good fight because Marlon, at first, he was like, we thought he was going to get the better of him, and he was actually, but he basically just, he got tired. He ran out of energy, and then Henry Cejudo, beat his ass. And Shevchenko, or I call her Chevychenko, kicked the shit out of Jessica Ai, fucking knocked her out. Hardcore, dude. It was awesome. And before that, it was Tony Ferguson, El Cucuy, versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone. And that was a lackluster, but it was still a good fight, so.
Nice, hell yeah. And today, update on my son is now on the field for a different team, the same club, but a different chapter, and he had a really good game today. Yesterday, he had two okay games because he's been goalie for the last 2 years, but today's game, really, really good game.
How did he do?
They lost, but him individually as a defense in the back, they didn't do anything on him, and he had a lot of good stops, a lot of good passes, so it was pretty awesome. So... about the straight pride parade thrown by some guy in Boston, I guess, is trying to throw it. And what are you saying about that?
That it's definitely the status quo. I'd attend, find out what's going on, but it's no different from when you hang out with a group of friends.
But do you feel like he's doing it out of general, like, or a good-hearted wanting to have his
own
representation?
Who knows? You'd have to interview the person or ask what the guy, is up to. I mean, if people were to ask him, a reporter, say some local reporter from Boston... Let's say the Globe would be interested in talking to him about that. They would ask him, "How come you're putting it together? What is his answer?
What kind of parade you throwing here?" Yeah, you know what? People from Boston are pretty race, and Boston Celtics and Boston Red Sox and all that. We're from LA, so Boston sucks pretty much. Is what it sounds like, right?
Sure.
They're gonna have some chauvinist parade. No, I mean. I would understand.
Shout out to Big Shook from Beantown.
I would understand if he felt like marginalized in some sort of way. I don't understand what this would be or what this would accomplish versus gay pride.
Oh, versus gay pride. Well, again, there's an attack on SJW, social justice warriors, which they attribute to the left. Which they want to characterize as anybody that has a care or feeling towards the plight of other people, empathy, show empathy and sympathy.
But the right hates those parades because the guys dress up in like
Let's talk about the bigger picture of what the right hates is SJWs, what they call SJWs, but they're SJWs too. If according to them, the plight of minorities, quote unquote, the plight of minorities is what's keeping them down or keeping people back from achieving some sort of middle-class dream that doesn't even exist in this country anymore. According to them, that's all a bunch of BS. They're just a bunch of lazy whiners. So the real people that are suffering and the real people that are at odds with the system are white people, white Christian males.
They've been forgotten about.
So then, okay, well, they have plenty of parades. They have plenty of sayings and plenty of things to talk about as far as, like, the white person or the white man being the oppressed one.
That's what you mean by status quo. quo. Okay,
so aren't
okay.
they? Wait. But according to them, they're not the status quo because there's so many foreigners in this country. Yeah. So then what? Then they're the social justice warriors. They're seeking social justice for the white man.
Go ahead and promote the gym you're going to and what you're doing over there.
Well, I won't say what it is. It's a gym that was founded by a martial arts legend. He actually fought in Pride. He revolutionized Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And as a teenager, he started jiu-jitsu, and he came up with a lot of notable people, such as Draculino, who's head of the who's head instructor Gracie Baja in Houston, and also the legendary Hickson Gracie.
Yeah, I know that dude.
Yeah, his son now is Cron Gracie. He's competing in UFC, and he took over his gym.
Yeah, I don't know that dude.
Out in Culver City, but the instructor now he's awesome. And I love the place. It's fucking great. They have yoga and Muay Thai and, of course, jiu-jitsu. So, jiu-jitsu, as Henner would say, jiu-jitsu.
Why do you think the Jew part's in there? Do they own it somehow? Okay, I have this clip of Chomsky talking to somebody else for you to listen to.
Who's he talking to? Himself?
Some cuck.
We want to have protection. The Middle East, we're going to be sending a relatively small number of troops, mostly protective. And some very talented people are going to the Middle East right now. And we'll see how, and we'll see what happens. It'll be about 1,500 people. Well, I think it's going to be very good in the Middle East. Iran has been as you know, they staged terror all over the world. They're a much different country now than when I first got here. When I first got here, they were at 14 different locations fighting. Right now, I don't think Iran wants to fight. And I certainly don't think they want to fight with us. But they cannot have nuclear weapons. And under the Obama horrible agreement, they would have had nuclear weapons within 5 or 6 years.
We've seen the stock markets in a frenzy the last couple of days. What does that tell you about the state of the global economies?
It's very unclear. First of all, it's worth mentioning that the stock market is not the economy. If you look at the column by noted economist Paul Krugman in the New York Times today, he says the three things you should know about the stock market. The stock market is not the economy. The stock market is not the economy. The stock market is not the economy. The stock market is mostly rich investors, banks. It's mostly owned by the very wealthy. And it's their estimate of what's happening. And they're very clear about it.
Now, we've had a year of Donald Trump as president. You were very fearful about what his presidency would mean. How do you reflect now, a year in, on how he's going and where he's taking the country?
Actually, I think the best and most authoritative assessment was perhaps given by the famous doomsday clock. It began 7 minutes before midnight in 1947 after the atom bombing. It's been oscillating since. Just now, a week ago, it was moved forward to 2 minutes to midnight after a year of Trump. That's the closest it's been to terminal disaster since 1953, when the U.S. and later the USSR exploded thermonuclear weapons, demonstrating that human intelligence had now developed the capacity to destroy everything on Earth. Now it's moved again to 2 minutes to midnight. The two major issues which they bring up, of course, are the growing threat of nuclear war and the increasing threat of global warming, both of them extended, amplified by the actions of the Trump administration in the past year. These are the most serious issues that humans face, in fact, have ever faced in the history of the species, and they're both the world's major power, most powerful country in history, is now leading the way towards what may be terminal destruction.
How pessimistic then are you now that for whatever reasons, the human race is on a path to self-destruction, or is there an element of optimism? Is there light there?
Yes, there are many quite hopeful signs. So again, take the United States, most important country in the world. Its actions influence the state of the world more than any other. And go back to the 2016 election. The focus of attention, of course, is on the Trump victory. But if you think about it, the electoral victory of a billionaire who had huge financial backing, spent close to $1 billion on the campaign, had enormous media support. The fact that he won the election is a little unusual because he wasn't the establishment candidate, but is pretty much within a normally expected range. However, something else happened, which was really astonishing. Bernie Sanders, who came from nowhere, even used the scare word socialist, had no support from private wealth or corporate power, had no media support. The media either ignored or denigrated him, would have won the Democratic Party nomination if it hadn't been for the machinations of party managers, might well have won the election, is now far and away the most a respected political figure in the country.
All right, first off, what do you think about 45's message about Iran? A lot of talented people, dude. I wish I was that talented.
45's message? Yeah. Oh, you mean abbreviation for the...
Trump, yeah. He's number 45.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of talented people, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the fucking guy... We've had presidents like this before. Again, Ronald Reagan couldn't even read a script. You know, I mean, he has people in his cabinet basically fucking running the show and telling him what to do and shit. I mean, he's just really fucking terrible at it. Everybody knows it. As far as the plans are, his plans are the same. People want to talk about Trump as being like a... maybe he's an upsetter of some sorts. Definitely upsetter socially as far as creating a divide in the country. But one thing that he is continuing to do as far as the status quo and that sort of thing is, you know, making sure that the U.S.'s assets, and when I say assets, I mean like other countries' resources, are taking basically still in the hands of the U.S. and its investors. That's one script he's reading on. The other one is making sure that the cabinet is filled with the same people that were in Obama's and Clinton's and the first Bush's
Goldman Sachs cabinet. People?
Exactly, bankers. Exactly.
But doesn't Trump talk shit about Pelosi? Isn't he like kind of cool talking to power that way?
Talking to power that way? Power, yeah. Power already knows truth. Okay, it doesn't give a shit. As far as him saying one thing and doing another, that's just part of his skill. He's a showman. He's a fucking clown, but he's a showman. So that's why people like TYT just pointing out that he's an idiot over and over every fucking episode. Yeah, dude, we got that shit a long time ago. Now, how about you talk about how the Democrats are in cahoots with this motherfucker?
There you go. Okay, so I want you to listen to my chick, Kim Iverson, which I've showed you before. Uh-huh. That she's pretty... She's...
Is that one black tranny? Okay, I'll listen.
Okay, no. She's that hot chick, but even if she was black tranny, she'd be hot still because I accept all. But no, she's...
Beauty's
like
in the eye of the beholder. I think it's that black tranny you told me about. Anyway, go on.
I'll hold something. But anyway, yeah. I don't know, dude. She's flip-flopping a little bit. Kim Iverson, come on. Get your game up.
So basically what I got from that is that people, maybe including yourself or others, are confused. So, one, if they're social democrats...
I'm so confused.
Fucking piece of shit. So in one, they're confused about social democratic policies, but then also, or a government that has just come in with that won on social democratic policies that they're going to implement, but also hardline immigration. Completely normal. The reason is protectionism. So they're limiting the amount of people that come into the country in order to compete for wages, jobs and wages. That's protectionism. That's a nanny state policy. If you have a certain amount of people competing for one job and you have a scarcity, the wage goes up. Okay, that's why doctors and lawyers and all these fucking people that live like out in Rancho Palos Verdes, they have the state and the government in intervening on their behalf to limit the amount of competition that they have to put up with. That's why they have that's why their wages are so high, and they're able to negotiate for all sorts of fabulous things. And they, ironically, they're the people that vote for right-wing parties, let's say the Republican Party or others, that want free market competition. Go ahead.
Two things. Back in the day, plumbers used to get paid as much as doctors.
Mm.
How did they reduce that? And then two, most people say you start off liberal, and then by the time you have money, you end up Republican. And why would that be?
Well, you can still be liberal and be Republican, okay? Oh, you can still be conservative and be a Democrat, okay? Those meanings here in this country have absolutely nothing to do with its original meaning.
But what I'm saying is, like, when people get money, they want it protected, and I guess that would...
Basically, what they mean is that they vote Republican because they want somebody in that's going to tax less at a certain point, a certain point of income that you are able to bring in a year. So if you earn more than $500,000, then they have only a certain amount of money they can tax on every dollar. Or if you earn more than a certain amount, then you get taxed nothing. Also, there are ways, like if you put money into a blooming business,
yeah,
then you have all sorts of tax write-offs, you get incentives and things like that. That's basically what it means. It's total fucking hypocrisy because of all sorts of reasons, including the nanny state that intervenes on behalf of businesses, mainly large-scale corporate businesses, transnationals, who wouldn't even be around if it wasn't for the taxpayer. So to answer your second question?
The first one.
The first question.
Dude, whatever. Like, who's paying attention fucking anyway?
Apparently a bunch of people. And people at Politicon, they better, fucking get a hint, you know?
Get ready, dude. Get ready.
Get ready for hell, right?
We should advertise battle or debate a liberal. Think of how many people will step up to the plate.
Where are you going to get your liberal?
You're the liberal.
I'm not.
Okay, but you're the classic liberal.
No.
You're the progressive?
No.
Okay, debate an anarcho.
No. Not an anarcho. You mean anarcho-capitalist. They're fun, but they're fucking dumb.
Okay, debate an anarchist.
Debate a conservative.
But what would you say? We'll edit all this out, but what would, if it was like debate you, what would be the best definition for you?
Conservative.
Oh, a classic conservative, a paleo conservative.
No. A conservative in the true sense, because we adhere to the principles and ethics of the Enlightenment period.
Oh, we're still going, dude.
Now, that's just one thing. So, my friend Santino here, he is definitely getting into politics and econ and all this other stuff. One reason, because I can tell that he naturally likes to, like, I have a discussion, but also like a debate of ideas and wits and stuff. You can tell he's definitely intellectual, and he's interested in all this stuff. And just like with anything, dude,
there's thin line.
It takes a while for you to get all the materials that you need in order to form a certain good opinion and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's so true. And like you said, it's honing a craft.
Right.
And I didn't understand what you really meant.
Right.
And now I do. It's like you do have to have all your bases covered.
Tell me about
and fucking back study. And forward study, and then because everyone's going to be like, oh, but what about,
right,
of bullshit.
Right, exactly.
To answer the first question, which was, why were plumbers making as much as doctors?
So, I'd have to actually look into that, but in general, I think what you mean is that when you say back in the day, I think what you mean is the day, maybe about the early 70s. And
it was a Wednesday.
Stupid asshole. So, let's say about after World War II to about the early 70s, that was a golden era of the American economy. Things were, booming in all sorts of regards. And we did have social democracy in that time, thanks to Harry Truman, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Eisenhower. And then when Nixon came into office, he unraveled things, not because he changed stuff, but because the economy changed, international economy changed. And to service the rich, he had to unravel a lot of regulations. And Nixon had to get off the gold standard, get the U.S. Off the gold standard with a reserve, and dismantle post-war economic regulations.
My career has been based on an understanding, one, that as a prosecutor, my duty was to seek and make sure that the most vulnerable and voiceless among us are protected, and that is why I have personally prosecuted.
Should I put this in my pocket?
Yeah.
It's not outside.
I have personally prosecuted violent crime that includes rape, child molestation, and homicide. And I have also worked my entire career to reform the criminal justice system.
I was born and raised Catholic. All my relatives were Catholic. I believed in God. That was my life. I was accepted to Salesian High School, which to me was an honor. Almost immediately after I got to the high school, I was befriended by the vice principal, Father Steve Whelan. The very first incident, I was playing pool, and he masturbated in front of me. And I was scared to death. I stood there frozen. I was just a little 70-pound runt. I looked across the room, and I thought, geez, I need some help. And Brother Sal Belanti was watching and enjoying it. And later I found out he was a serial molester rapist himself. When he got out of the PE to go into the showers, he would watch me. He would make comments about me undressing. Then he started calling me into his office and telling me I was bad in class and what am I gonna do for him? And then he would attack me. He would stick his hands down my pants. He would just molest me. And then he would tell me if anything happened, nobody would believe my word against the priest. And I believed him. This escalated. He started getting more violent and more rough. And the very last time he attacked me, he dragged me into the room. I actually blacked out and floated away while he was molesting and raping me. I just gave up on Catholicism. I gave up on God. I lost all sense of spirituality. I went with another victim to Terrence Hallinan's office, the DA's office in San Francisco, and we were introduced to Hallinan and another DA's assistant, who told us they virtually had all these boxes, about like a room full of files that they had gathered and collected and subpoenaed from the Diocese of San Francisco on all these priests. Bishop Levada at that time was the highest ranking bishop in the United States. Then he became cardinal. So this was the top guy. This was the kingpin in the United States. And we had a champion here that was going to go after him. We thought, well, this is going to go somewhere. These guys are going to be punished. They're going to be held accountable. They're going to be prosecuted.
38-year-old Kamala Harris came out of nowhere and was swept into office as San Francisco's district attorney.
In 2004, Kamala Harris was elected. Everything just went down the tubes. I started out by writing a letter asking for some help or some accessibility to the file. I didn't get any response. So then we made posters and started putting them all over the city, and we got no response. Several media members were also asking for files and stuff, and they were getting nothing. So in 2010, there was a big article in San Francisco Weekly, and they were pestering her office. And then what they got was this false statement that they were protecting victims. It's just a flat-out insult. She could have redacted the names, blacked out the names and left them out. Everything he did to gather information and to try and prosecute and go after them disappeared and went the other way. She shielded and protected them, and we were floored at what happened.
We also want to make sure that when a woman is raped, a child is molested, one human being is killed by another human being, we also want to make sure there's going to be consequence and serious consequence for those crimes.
Her participation in going after clergy or predators of the Catholic Church or bishops who had enabled these people was less than zero. I would like her to produce one clergy abuser or one bishop that she's even tried to prosecute. I'd like to hear it.
So what do you think, man? Was Kamala Harris bought off? Even though younger Kamala Harris was fire.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Dude, come on. And she was like 38 then.
That's really?
Pretty Damn. Rad. Yeah, pretty rad.
So when you say bought off, it's not like just somebody came in with a briefcase and just gave her a bunch of money. You talking about campaign contributions?
No, they said they were looking into the whole fucking situation. There was somebody that was running for the office that she won that was looking into that whole thing and investigating it, had a bunch of evidence on it. And once she was elected and she won, all that investigation stopped.
Okay.
She got, you know, voted into fucking San Francisco for the DA. So if she had help from the churches.
Well, that yeah, would explain something. That sounds like some conspiracy BS. Help from the churches. Look, there could be, it could be campaign contributions. It could be also that she doesn't want to piss off a certain electorate.
That's not honest,
of the
though.
Population. Yeah, but I mean, it's not just like I said, it's not just like somebody just came in with a briefcase being bought off. It could also be that the clergy are a part of, they're close to a lot of politicians in San Francisco and they don't want to see this whole scandal going on. One thing, if you want to talk about like Kamala Harris not doing what she should and doing the right thing, I mean, you know, she's an elitist. She's a part of the political class that is subservient to the business class. You know, you have to understand that relationship and they come first. So a lot of people in the business class, they don't want to see, you know, like a lot of priests from the Catholic Church get indicted because one, well, maybe they're Catholics themselves.
But kids that get abused or are brought up the wrong way with the wrong parents or just something like that happened to them usually turn out to be criminals or drug addicts, which is a drain on the economy. And I don't want to say that in a fucking mean way, but I mean, it's like that's the worst thing you want to be able to produce. You want to try to stop all that shit, you know?
Right, but I'm not Kamala Harris. So
no, dude.
Obviously, I know, right? Obviously, she's fucking wrong. And one other thing is, we should talk about why priests are molesting. Is there's definitely something inherently and internally wrong with a Catholic.
You can't keep dudes away from Vag.
Exactly, and when they're around a bunch of little kids and they have nothing else, then they're gonna try to molest them because people have biological needs.
So fucked up, dude. You're victimizing people that you can manipulate very easily because they have no life experience.
And that's
evil in the true sense of the fucking word.
Having to be abstinent and everything, that's just absolute nonsense.
It is. That is stupid. It's fucking dumb. Let people have freedom. Part of you growing up and maturing is having that sexual freedom to go out. And, you know, you go finger first and then you go, oh, mouth stuff. And then you go fucking insertion stuff.
I guess it's true when they say that females can coast, because I never heard of a nun molesting a boy, which I wouldn't be opposed to hearing about. Sorry.
I had two nuns. Ready? Sister Mary Martha, Sister Mary Michael.
When I say boy, I mean 18 years old.
They were both older and gross, so.
Oh!
It was also, yeah. But no, chicks that fucking get with younger dudes, you're not like, oh, she took advantage of them. You're like, the guy was like, hell yeah, I got an older chick.
Right. That's a point that Cenk Uygur makes.
Well, only because
he's saying the male is not going to be traumatized, not like the female would be.
I don't think so. No, because you're not taking advantage of. You're giving it to somebody.
I mean, if you think of a
unless 14, you're laying on your back if and you think she's of a, bouncing, then you're like, this is taken from me. I'm not giving this in any sort of way.
If you think of what goes through the mind of a 13 adolescent kid or a teenager, I mean, and they have like maybe like a semi, you know, attractive like
mine was just like
figure in their
sex,
life,
sex, sex, boobs, figure, boobs, figure vagina in their stuff,
life, like a teacher or maybe a nun or somebody like that. I mean, come on, dude, you know that they're gonna be thinking about fucking doing shit to that person, that teacher, female, and if the female cops
being held back for so many years with all those human fucking emotions and wants and needs, and you hold that back, and then finally, you have a group of just victims that you can fucking totally victimize under your power. That's what I'm saying. That's what's fucking shitty about it. Go out and get a prosty, dude. You get a prosty, you go down some shitty fucking street, you find a prosty in Pomona, they still have prosties.
Yuck.
But it's better than just fucking ruining some kid's life.
Well, yeah, it is, man.
That chick's made that decision, or some pimps made it for her. And that sucks too.
No,
that's fucked up. There's no denying
that they are out there, but they're victims themselves. Okay, so it's just
that's
a real
true.
Fucking
yes,
victim.
That's true.
It's a victim circle jerk and a fuck fest. It's a colossal victim goat fuck. That's what it is.
Okay, number one point. Will Kamala Harris be fucking? Will this be something that hurts her?
Oh yeah,
the election.
I think so. It depends on how you. The corporations are not going to cover it. They'll bring up anything they can find against people that they don't deem as are part of the status quo or the establishment, which is somebody like Bernie Sanders, definitely was Trump, you know, other people. But
Trump will jump all over that, right?
Yeah, but come on, dude. He doesn't have any fucking credibility for anything.
I'm a mud monster, and you have more mud on you right now. It's going to be huge.
Yeah, okay. He doesn't have any fucking credibility for anything, dude. So he might as well just fucking pull the toupee and stick it in his ass.
Hey, do you want to hear what happens when you fucking talk about no Medicare at the California Democratic National Convention?
Sure.
Presidential candidate John Delaney was booed for shitting on Medicare for All at the California Democratic Conference. This is hilarious.
But we need, as Democrats, to build an economy that works. But it's got to be with smart policies. Medicare for All may sound good, but it's actually not good policy, nor is it good politics. I'm telling you. 100 We should have universal health care. We should have universal health care. We should have universal health care. We should have universal health care, but it shouldn't be a kind of health care that kicks 150 million Americans off their health care. That's not smart policy.
Okay, this guy, you're not going to be surprised to learn, has taken a tremendous amount of money from health insurance companies. They're so transparent, man. They're so see-through. Dude, we see you.
So what'd you think about that guy? He explained it. He's not against Medicare for All, but he's still a Democrat, and he's trying to explain it in a different way that you'll like. You'll accept it, and it sounds better.
The base isn't stupid, okay? So if you want something, and they're telling you the exact opposite, how the fuck does that sound good at all? Basically, what he's trying to do is not even coerce. He's trying to persuade somehow, but the way he's persuading is basically a line of clown centrist establishment Democrats basically telling you the same thing. Incrementalism, you know, all the things about Medicare, you know, for all, and a bunch of other social democratic policies that they don't want implemented because they are not social democrats. They're not leftists. They're center, and center for this in this country means you're to the right. And also, they're moderate right wing. Okay. Now, one thing that you're missing is why they're fighting leftist policies or social democratic policies so much.
Well, he's saying the healthcare to where you shouldn't be kicked off. You have whatever. The
okay.
Shit.
Then he's on the side of private enterprise than on the side of government.
So privatize it and let the people, or let the fucking each, or let the market decide what shit should cost.
Yeah, which is a bunch of bullshit.
Because it won't let the market, right? It'll be companies.
Well, there really is no such thing as a market. So there is a fucking misleading.
Only because, term. Look, like LASIK started out all crazy amounts, and now it's brought down to about $5,000. LASIK surgery. And that's because nobody else can really charge more than that because most people charge about $5,000 for LASIK eye surgery. So that's one thing in where privatization kind of looks like it worked almost.
No. Well, what do you mean by privatization worked? What does that mean?
That means instead of like all eye doctors providing that, there was like certain little eye doctors that would do that for that amount. And then other eye doctors would have to offer that in their services.
The government in the business of providing services gives the price that you have to pay. Yeah, they that's where the supposed freedom is left, because you have the freedom to pay a fucking $5,000 compared to $100. That's freedom. Okay, and what you when you actually get people private enterprises providing services, and you only have one that's a monopoly, when you have more then you have a competition, it resembles more of a free market, and that's how you get the price to drop down. So then you can choose from optometrist A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all whatever the fuck, until there's a certain one that maybe has good reviews and it also has a good price. The reason being is because, well, hey, we have this equipment, but we also pay less rent, maybe, and then we can also, I mean, we're also trying to bring in customers too, so why not lower the price for certain things?
Well, it seems like dental really has their shit narrowed down. You know how much it's going to cost.
Well, dentists don't have to, again, dentists that practice, they actually are protected by the state and the government to limit the amount of competition that they have to, that it's given by the state board and a license. So they actually have like certain types of rules that they have to abide by. Say you were going to bring people from developing countries that are like from India and stuff, and there are Indian optometrists, more Medicare doctors.
Yeah.
But those are the, if you wanted to bring them in, then it's impossible for them, because they are not allowed to have any kind of universal license granted to them. So hence the people in this country, and that's perfectly fine. The reason is, but that's a nanny state policy. That's protectionism. If plumbers and electricians, HVAC technicians, and other people, not just trade people either, but people that manufactured and also people that worked in the service industry, if they had a limited amount of people that they had to compete with, their wages would be through the roof.
Okay, so Vegas, we're driving there, right?
Are we?
Yes, you said we're driving there. If not, we're going to take this shuttle service, VIP shuttles.
No, we're not. I'm not going to no stupid shuttle, dude. We're driving in my fucking truck.
There'll be a bunch of old people there. We're going to play the slots.
Bunch of old people having to sit there next. No, it's okay. We're driving.
Anyway, Vegas has legal weed, so I'll be cool.
That's not true.
Yes, it does,
dude. They used to give you 25 years for possessing.
They don't now. Now you can go with your California license. If you have a license that says California on it, your driver's license, you can get weed from there.
That's fucking nuts.
And either way,
dude,
I'm going to have some.
How that's changed.
Yeah. Just drive well, dude. Don't judge me. Anything that happens, don't judge me, okay?
Like my cousin, dude. He likes to fucking smoke up wherever, and it's like, dude.
Oh, no. I'm not like that at all.
Yeah, good. You ain't gonna
get
me in trouble.
I'm very safe about it. No, I'm very safe about it.
You're not going to get me in trouble, dude.
Only because in the room, we'll have like two bathrooms. They have the fans in there.
Mm-hmm.
This one's nice because it has a little liquor store, like combo store right next to it. And then there's a shuttle going to the Vegas Strip, which it's like 5 minutes away from. Like, we could walk there. It wouldn't be too bad. But it's right next to the Hooters, the casino, right next to the MGM casino. So, like, we're right in back of some real sick shit. It's across the street from Hooters.
All right, sounding better and better.
So, I mean, we're going to be right there, which would be pretty sick. And, you know, we're just going to go around and let things happen, dude.
I've never been there, so I don't know what the fuck that means.
I know.
Listen,
what the
fuck
this
is means.
What we're going to do, okay? We're going to start out. We're going to get what we need for the room, because we have a kitchen there. We have laundry there, so we'll just get some whatever deodorant shit for washing clothes if we need to. We probably won't need to. That's fine. But we have coffee there already. They stock that for you.
Coffee.
And then we
okay.
just get, like, you know, some eggs and shit for breakfast. We just make some power breakfast burritos or whatever. I don't know if you like quinoa in the morning or some kind of gay shit.
It's so funny, though, because, like, I know you're used to preparing stuff because you have a family and everything.
Yeah, I do.
My wife and I just go just to the store and just pick something up.
Okay, and that's fine, too. But I'm saying we have the option for either one.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, we can make some fresh stuff.
But we're going to get ramen over there, okay? Want some proper ramen?
Whatever, man. Yeah,
because, listen.
I'm not going to eat it, dude. I don't eat ramen, so.
But when they have people come to ramen and make that in Vegas, it's the best of the best, dude.
No.
You don't have someone there that sucks.
I'll eat Benihana's.
Okay, well, whatever. We'll fucking go do that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to a casino and place down at least a bet or two at a table. Okay,
uh-huh.
You can't go there and not do that. That's
okay.
Dumb. And then we're going to be in old Vegas looking at the old shit, but we're also going to be in new Vegas and try to chill at one of the pools, which will be awesome. So that's what it's going to be, dude. It's going to be rad. It's going to be a real good time, and you'll see.
All right.
You'll fall in love with Vegas as a whole.
Maybe. I love San Diego, actually, but okay, whatever.
San Diego. Yeah, it's called immigrant area. I'm just San Diego's cool.
San Diego's fucking great, dude. Are you kidding me? Thank you.
So yes, as a Touche Amour fan, all the suggestions on every like website or anything that you like check out Touche Amour on was Law Dispute, and I was very much like, oh, I don't want to be that guy. But Law Dispute is fucking sick. Those lyrics are tight as hell. What do you think of the lyrics?
I didn't hear too much about it. I listened more to the drumming and stuff.
Oh yeah, Edgar. Yeah, you like drum. Oh, how did you get into drumming? First of all, let's just get into that.
When I was a kid, my father had a drum set, and I like hitting on them. And
no
stuff,
but, way.
Yeah, but then later when I turned 18, I think I bought a drum set right out of high school, and I played from then on.
What do you mean? Your dad played from when though?
No, like, he had a drum set that he had set up and stuff. Who knows how he got his hands on a drum set. So when I was a kid, I liked playing on them and everything. So.
Dads back in the day used to get their kids like little skateboards, like plastic skateboards and fucking instruments. That was the boys' toys, you know, once they get a little bit older.
Right.
Did you ever get a skateboard as a toy?
I don't think so. No skateboards.
But you got a jump set, so that was so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, Law Dispute, get your fucking game up. That shit is tight. I'm very happy with that. I'm going to go see them as soon as they play back in LA, which I think is soon. So great. Thank you.
Hold on. Can I use a bathroom?
And so now we're listening to a song that you, that you're, or a band you're listening to lately.
Boy Harsher. The name of the song is called Come Closer.
So yeah, that's crazy. It makes me feel like, one, I've taken a bunch of Molly, okay, and two, like I'm fucking just trapped in a Quentin Tarantino movie or something like that.
I wouldn't say Quentin Tarantino, more like Jim Jarmusch.
Okay, well, either way, I can see what you're saying though about training and working out to that shit. That's yeah. I can
well,
do
no,
that.
No, no, no,
what,
that's not what I said.
What's your whole appeal to it?
I didn't say training and working out to it.
Okay,
I said,
God damn it, I suck.
Competing, rolling on the mats. The whole appeal to it is that it's just really energy-driven music. It's great. You know, it has a lot of imagery, scenery, and all that stuff. It's good to dance to, especially Boy Harsher. I'm surprised. But it also helps in other areas, too, like when you're preparing for, you know, jiu-jitsu match or something like that.
Do you want to hear the song I listen to before I go skating bulls?
Yeah.
Because it's very up and down. This is it, dude. So yeah, the ups and downs of that song in the bowl are really awesome when you're skating. So it's cool.
That's
I like
cool.
that.
Right on.
What'd you think? Nah, fuck that, dude. What'd you think? Nah, fuck that.
It's all right. It's all right.
Okay, anyway, you're disrespecting and that's not cool. So you guys hear the blatant disrespect in his voice.
Yeah.
Anyway, guys, that's the end of the episode. Thank everyone. Fucking be happy Edgar came. It only happens every fucking once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
But we all see that the episode's way better with him.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And we have to be ready for fucking Politicon because a lot of people are going to want to debate you.
I know, dude. A lot of preparation. Oh, well.
But real quick, we're going to shout out our new Instagram followers from last week. So real quick. So we have Music X saved me X, and we fucking appreciate that shit. We have the old skull tones, and that's cool as shit. We have the Tropicos 45 RPM. We have Jonathan Farrell Santana, and that's it right there. The new followers. So everyone, thank you for that, and we'll keep it up. So as usual, if you can't be good, be bad, baby.
Later.
And that's it. Tangent Bros out.